because he lives, I can face tomorrow. To know that he lives tonight, despite who the song leader is, who the musicians are. There was a prayer meeting before church when Sister Layton and Sister Anna found out I was leading singing. There was a prayer meeting. You bear with us tonight. I asked Brother Layton to go tell Sister Layton that it was going to be all new songs tonight, but he wouldn't do it. He wasn't brave enough. I'm fighting a cold. Brother Furman couldn't be here. And so we're just going to worship the Lord. Amen. That's what we came for. And you know, he's not interested whether I'm on key, whether I've got a cold or not. He's not interested if I'm with the music or not. He just wants to be worshiped. Amen. And that's what we're going to do tonight, is worship him. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercy has followed me. So glad you found me and you said, be without that mercy? What would I be doing if that light hadn't crossed my path one day? Change me. Stand with me if you would, please. Page 137. Everybody knows this, I'm sure, but there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power. There's wonderful power.
Have you experienced that? There is power, power. There's wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. I know there's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. I know there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. Oh, yes, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood, the precious blood of the saving Lamb of God. I know there's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. As we shake hands with one another, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood, all the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. I know there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. One more time. Oh, yes, there's power.
It's in the blood, oh, of the Lamb. Oh, I know there's power, power. There's wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to be in service again together tonight to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. And got a prayer request from Brother Isaac Weber. They're traveling home, so I want to remember him and his family for traveling. Mercies also for Brother Trevor, who will be traveling home this evening. Lord willing, how many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Brother Lee, would you come this evening, and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Just bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just bring these requests, Lord. It's been made known tonight to you. Lord, we got, Lord, loved ones that's traveling the highways, Lord. You know how bad the highways are sometimes, Father. And, Lord, we just ask you to keep them in the ark of safety, Father. Lord, just bless the service tonight and meet every need. Lord, help us to lift you up and worship you in spirit and truth tonight, Lord. Father, we just ask all these blessings in Jesus Christ's name.
You may be seated. We have a young man visiting us from Tucson, Arizona, and he's going to bless us with a special this evening, Brother Dylan Robson.
Thank you.
Brother Dylan, we enjoyed that. Appreciate you using your talents for the Lord. Page 121, come and go with me to my Father's house. To my Father's house. Amen. That's where I'm headed. This world doesn't have anything for me. I want to go be with Him. Come and go with me to my Father's house.
There's peace, peace, peace. There'll be no dying there in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Oh, in my Father's house, there'll be no dying there in my Father's house, where there's peace, peace, peace. So come and go with me to my Father's house, oh, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Oh, come and go with me to my Father's house, where there's peace, peace, peace. Oh, Jesus will be there in in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Oh, Jesus will be there in my Father's house, where there's peace, peace, peace. Shall we stand? Oh, there'll be no dying there in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Be no dying there in my Father's house, where there's peace, peace, peace. Won't you come and go with me to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Oh, come and go with me to my Father's house, where there's peace, peace, peace.
Amen. Well, if somebody hadn't written down the wrong page. Sorry, 326. I'm on my way to Canaan land. As we get ready for the word, I say this every time that Brother Nathan preaches a series, but this series is really working on me. I really am enjoying when he got on the part about all the reputations that men have, and then Jesus made himself a no reputation. Just think about Brother Branham said, the highest of the high became the lowest of the low. The king of all glory became a foot wash flunky. Something begins to turn over down in my soul, and I begin to realize he did that for me. Not to make me a stuffed shirt, not to make me some big something, but so that I could realize just how much he loved me. Amen. Sing with me. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way.
Preacher, don't go. I'm going on. If the church don't go, the bride's going on. She's on her way. Praise God, she's on her way. You are the bride, my way to Canaan land. I'm on my way. Way tonight, I'm on my way to higher ground. Oh, I'm on my way to higher ground. I'm on my way to higher ground. I'm on my way. Praise God, I'm on my way.
amen and amen. Well, God bless you tonight. I didn't know I was prophesying Wednesday night when I said we get in a little box and say, well, we like these musicians and these song leaders and things. But, amen, how blessed are we tonight that, amen, we can have a service like this with our backup song leader and backup musicians. Amen. God's blessed us. Amen. God has blessed us. And we come to worship Him. Amen. It used to be, this is what song service used to be. It was just me and an old guitar. This is what the deacon and the trustee and the pastor and the janitor and everything used to look like when we got started off. So I'm glad God has added to the church a little bit to where we can have some help. And amen. God's good to us. Let's try this tonight. Amen. You help us sing it.
Oh, as I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Oh, He leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. Well, this would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need Thy light, Lord, to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. Lord, I need Thee every hour while I'm through this pilgrim land. Protect me by Thy saving fire. Oh, hear my feeble plea. Oh, look down on me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You love him tonight? Amen. Aren't you thankful that he's holding to your hand? Amen. God bless you and thank you, musicians. Certainly good to be in service tonight. You know how these preachers are, between Brother Layton and Brother Hoover, they're always trying to get ahead of me a little bit, but that's all right. We serve the same God and same Holy Spirit leading. So there's a quote that Brother Hoover almost got into tonight that in part of the service. So, amen. That's all right. Amen. Just a confirmation. Amen. God bless you tonight. Turn with me, if you would, again to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, we want to look at tonight. He forgot me, Brother Hoover. I asked Brother Anthony to do this, and he walked off and forsook me. Amen. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we begin to look into your word again this evening, I just ask that you would come on the scene, Lord. No doubt there's many needs that are represented here tonight, Father, as I know, Lord, just receiving some requests, Father. Lord, an unspoken request for the Eplin family. I ask that you'd be with them, Lord. And many that are dealing with sickness in their bodies. And Lord, Sister Tina not feeling well tonight. And different ones, Lord. And different ones that couldn't be here due to family being in town or going out of town or different things. And just ask that you would be with them, Lord. And just bless them as you bless us here tonight. And Lord, help us to get ourselves out of the way, Lord. Not only, Lord, me as it's followed my lot to speak tonight, but Lord, may you get the audience, the congregation, Lord. May they get themselves out of the way as well, Lord. Get our opinions out of our ways, Lord. And Lord, get our schedules and the things that we're facing. May we just put all of that out of our mind for a few moments here tonight as we look into your word. And help me, Father, just to get myself out of the way so that you could use me in some way. Guide me down some path that would be a help to those that are here, Lord. And Lord, we recognize for anything positive to come from the service, Lord, in our humanity, Lord, we have no ability on our own to produce anything of eternal value. But yet, if you'll come on the scene and do something supernatural, Lord, if you'll work through human beings again, Lord, as we've seen you tonight through the musicians and the singers and the different ones, Lord, if you can come and just anoint, Lord, to where it's not just human instrumentality, but to where it's God dealing with the people, Lord, in whatever form it would be, through music or through ministry or through singing or through encouragement, whatever it would be, Father. Lord, we know that the word is anointed. We recognize that. So, Lord, as we look into your word tonight, may you just come and anoint our hearts to receive it. Be with us, Father, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. God bless you, and you can be seated tonight. Amen. I wanted to say I certainly appreciated the special tonight to see young men using their gifts for God. You know, I look around and I was telling a brother yesterday, sometimes we see young men with gifts on their lives and callings on their lives. And if we're not careful, the world or popularity or just the pressures of people and their opinions can try to pull us away from that a little bit. That's what happened to Elvis, you know. He was started off in a Pentecostal church using his gift for the Lord, but because of popularity and money and pressures and things, he began to use his gift in another way. And, you know, nothing against motivational speaking, but I've seen a lot of young men, you know, in different channels and different states and different personalities and things, but maybe a gift on their life to the ministry and things like that, but because they're running from that, a lot of times it'll come out in almost a way of a good uplift of something, of a good pep talk or whatever it would be, you know, leaning towards a motivational speaker. But it's going to take more than just some motivational speaking to get us out of here. Amen. And I don't claim to have some great something, some great gift of my own or anything like that. But what God has placed in my life, I want to use it and yield it to Him to be able to use that for Him. I didn't always do that. And I recognize sometimes God has to take you and mold you and make you and put you through some things. But it is good when we look around and we see young men using their gifts for God. But we want to pick this up again, look at it on this thought of identified that we've been looking at for the last few weeks here. And what Brother Hoover meant to say was he's just glad that we're off of that How to Find a Pharisee series. He told me, he said, Brother Nathan, every time I come to service, I'm afraid that Sister Jeannie's going to point over and say, I found one. But she didn't do that, and we don't believe that that's the case. But you know, some of these things do make us look at ourselves a little bit, and we think, oh, goodness, Lord, don't let me be this or don't let me be that. Don't let me be found that that's my testimony. So, but as we begin to look at this morning, I think most of you that are here tonight was here this morning, but just a quick, brief overview of what we looked at, how that in God in Genesis chapter 1 created man. Brother Branham said that first man was a spirit man made in the image of God. But then when God comes along in Genesis chapter 2, as we just read, and he takes and he makes man out of the dust of the earth and he breathes the breath of life in him, that was a flesh man. Now the first man that God made was spirit man, because God said, we'll make him in our image. And the Bible says in St. John chapter 4 that God is a spirit and that we must worship him in spirit and truth. So the original man that was in God's image was not this flesh that we look at, but it was a spirit man that God forms man in his image, and then he creates man out of the dust of the earth in an animal type of life form, but yet he places a soul down inside of that. And then God, because of the fall, would come and condescend to come in the image of man. He took on not the nature of angels, but took on the seed of Abraham and came to redeem us back. He became us that we might become him. As we sang this morning, God would look down, and even though he had made man in his own image and placed that spirit man inside of a human body, then God would condescend and come to the earth in a flesh body. What a testimony. What a wonderful gospel that we have. And I want to read this from Five Definite Identifications of the True Church in 1960. Brother Branham says, as we looked at this morning and a different quote, but along the same concept. He said, the first thing he created was angels to worship him. Then he became God, because you remember, God is an object of worship. So he couldn't be God if there was nothing to worship him. He was just the self-existing one, Elohim. And he dwelt alone with his thoughts. But now he has something to worship him. He becomes God. He says, then when he said, let us make man after our own image, what kind of a man did he make? Spirit man. And when he made that man, he gave him control. Then he made man out of the dust of the earth. Then he fell. Then he became a savior, God, then a savior. Sin brought on sickness. Then he became a healer. Hallelujah. Now, Adam had known God. You know, they had walked in the cool of the evening, and Adam had seen God in a theophany body come down in the cool of the evening and fellowship with Adam and Eve in a way that we've never really had fellowship with God, that we never will on this earth in this body until the earth is restored to its original condition and our bodies are restored to its original condition, that they can walk down through the earth hand in hand together, God in a theophany body and Adam and Eve there in a flesh body, and they would walk down and have fellowship with him in the cool of the evening. Now, because of the fall, it separated that type of fellowship with God and Adam, but yet it brought out attributes that God could express himself to Adam in a way that Adam had never known him. Now, Adam had known him as Father. He had walked in the cool of the evening. He knew that he was his creator. He was his father. And so God had expressed an attribute through the creation of angels. He had expressed an attribute of God as an object of worship. Now he expressed an attribute of Father to Adam and Eve, but there were still attributes in God that he wanted to express to man that he couldn't force man to fall to be able to express those, but he could place man in the garden on the auspices of free moral agency so that man could make a choice, knowing what choice the man would make. And because of the fall, now he comes down, and we'll look at it maybe in the next couple weeks, but
because of the fall, he comes down and he slays a lamb, and he takes the coats, he takes the fur from this lamb, and he wraps it around Adam and Eve, and now he's no longer just father, but now he becomes a savior. Now he becomes a redeemer. Now they recognize that he's not only just some righteous God sitting up in the clouds with his arms folded, ready to judge any mistake, but he's also ready to forgive. He's also ready to welcome back with open arms that prodigal son that would turn to him. And so they recognize forgiveness in the nature of God. There were things in the nature of God. Now, they had recognized his love, but they couldn't fully understand the fullness of his love because there were many attributes that he couldn't express to them. Now, you as a human being, we can even relate to this. And Brother Benham talks about how that we have to approach God in the right way. He said that the woman that was sitting there that was a Gentile, she called him son of David, and it didn't even turn him around. He didn't recognize her. He didn't acknowledge that because she wasn't son of David to him. But when she approached him and said, Lord, then he recognized her. Then he turned around. So there were things even in our own lives. You know, many times we wear different hats. I'm a pastor. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a son. I'm a nephew. I'm a cousin. I'm an uncle. I'm many different things. Now, each one of those people that come in contact with me, my children can approach me as father, because as far as earthly, I am their father. They have that relationship with me. There's some of you that will never know me in that capacity. Now, you might know me in the capacity of friend. You might know me in the capacity of pastor. But you can never know me in that way, because there's no true relationship there of father and son. Now, just as my wife, there's only one in here that can truly know me in the relationship of husband and wife. There's other sisters that, oh, maybe they can look and say, oh, my, what a fine brother Brother Nathan is, my good Christian example or whatever. But they'll never know me in that relationship of husband and wife, because they have no rights to me as that. Amen. No matter how much I would respect Brother Layton or Brother Hoover or some of these brothers that are definitely old enough to be, I can never really truly have that connection to them as father, because they're not my father. They can be my friend. They can be an example. I'm just picking on your age tonight, brothers. But they could be a role model or an example or whatever it would be. But I can never truly know them as father, because they don't have no right to me as son. I have no right to them as father. So God, in the beginning, he had attributes that yet there was no way that man could express or understand these attributes in God. So through the fall, now God becomes more than just a father. He becomes more than just some great eternal something that was a fountain of love. But now they're able to see attributes of God that they never knew before. They're able to recognize his forgiveness. They're able to recognize his mercy. They're able to recognize his grace. They had never recognized this before. Yet he's still the same God, but they had never had an opportunity to experience him in this way. He had attributes of Savior, but there was no one to be saved. He had attributes of healer, but there was nobody that was sick for him to heal them. And now they begin to recognize him in these attributes. Brother Bam says there ain't nothing going wrong. He knowed all about it before the world was ever formed. Now, you might look around tonight and you might say, oh, Brother Nathan, there's all kinds of things going wrong. There's things out in the world that's terrible. There's things going on around the message that's terrible. There's things going on maybe in your own family or maybe right here at the church, circumstances and things that you look around and you say, oh, goodness, there's all kinds of things going wrong. But no, when we really look at it, there ain't nothing going wrong. It's all going just according to schedule. Amen. No matter how many wrenches that Satan tries to throw in the gears, the great machinery of God, the great plan of God will move on no matter what Satan does. No matter what Satan tries, he might try to stumble you. He might try to discourage you. Oh, goodness, I feel like preaching tonight, Brother Hoover. He might try to come and he might try to stop you. He might try to drag you down. But if you're a real true son or daughter of God, there is nothing that Satan can do that will ever stop the plan of God for your life. Oh, how Satan would love to stop this message. How he would have loved to stop the plan of redemption. How he would have loved, after Christ died and he recognized that he rose again, how he would have loved to have gone back and changed that. If he would have known what was going to take place, he would have never let Pilate kill him. He would have never let Caiaphas come. He would have been doing everything he could to kill Caiaphas and Pilate and every intention that they had of killing him if he knew what the death of this man would produce. But yet the plan of God went right on anyhow. Oh, it looked like to the disciples, it looked like Satan had absolutely stopped the plans that God had, but they were just looking at the plans of God wrong. Here, this one they followed, they lay him in the tomb, and to them it looked like, oh goodness, the very thing that we followed, the very idea that we had of our religion and the plans that we had for the future, there it lays in the grave and it's over, but it had just begun. Hey man, you can't stop the plan of God. Every demon out of hell can't stop the plan of God. Hey man, don't just put that for Calvary. Don't just put that for the message. That goes for your life as well. Hey man, if you're a Christian, if you were a part of God back from the beginning, he can, you know, we look at it and think, well, bless God, he won't stop the message, or bless God, he won't stop salvation, but he won't stop you either. Hey man, if you're part of God from the beginning, he can no more stop you than he can stop God. He can no more stop you than he can stop his word from being fulfilled, because you're an attribute of his word. You're a part of his word. No matter how dark it looks, no matter what the circumstances are, Satan will never be able to stop the plan of God. Amen. As I said Wednesday night, when Gamaliel looked there and he said, oh goodness, he said, if this is just of man, it'll come to nothing. But if it's of God, he said, how can we be found to fight against God? That's how I feel about any move of God. Even our little church right here on 1221 Silver Street. If this is of God, then no man can stop it. No movement can stop it. No political power can stop it. No nasty words from individuals can stop it. Nobody's agenda can stop it. No personality can stop it. No attacks from without or within can stop it. There's nothing that can stop the plan of God. And if it's not of God, it needs to be destroyed anyhow. But if it's of God, there's nothing that can stop it. There's nothing that can stop you in your own personal walk with God. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't stumble. That doesn't mean that you won't fall. But Satan cannot destroy that relationship between you and God, because Satan didn't have anything to do with it in the beginning. Amen. You know, people get discouraged sometimes that, oh, well, Brother Nathan, this brother so-and-so, he married me and you know, my wife, and now he's not even serving the Lord. He's backslid out here a drunk, or he got remarried to some woman out in the world. He's not even preaching no more. Should I go back and get remarried? That man, you didn't marry that man. He didn't have anything to do with it. He just got up there and repeated some words to make things legal. Brother Bam said you was married when you made that vow. Amen. The justice of the peace, the courthouse, the minister, nobody else made that union. It was a vow between you and your wife, and it was something that God did between you two. It didn't have anything to do with the preacher. He just got up and repeated some words over you. But, you know, it had nothing to do with him. People say, oh my, well, I received the Holy Ghost down in so-and-so's meeting, and now they're not even following the message, and they're attacking it, and they're saying this, that, or the other. Should I go back and get baptized again? So Brother so-and-so baptized me over here, and now he's out here running around or drinking or doing whatever. Should I go back and be rebaptized? That had nothing to do with that man. He was just a physical body that placed you under the water and picked you back up. Amen. Wasn't the man, wasn't the words that he spoke. It was obedience to God's word. It was obedience to God's word. Brother Bam said you take an egg and you lay it under a puppy dog. It'll hatch it out. Why? Just because of the atmosphere and because of the heat and the warmth of that. So we don't tie ourselves to those things. The individual man doesn't have anything to do with that. I've heard of men around the message saying, well, bless God, I'm married, Brother so-and-so, so I guess, you know, they feel like he should just stay at his church for the rest of their life. Or bless God, Sister so-and-so got the Holy Ghost in my services. That didn't have anything to do with that man. That didn't have anything to do. If you got the Holy Ghost in one of our services, I didn't give you the Holy Ghost. Brother Hoover, Brother Layton, Brother Arnie, Brother Trevor, none of these brothers could give you the Holy Ghost. What was it? We just created an atmosphere so that the Holy Ghost could come. Amen. So we recognize that Satan can't stop something that he didn't have any control over to begin with. Amen. You say, oh, I'm worried about my loved ones. They're out here doing this and they're out here doing that. If they're part of God, doesn't matter what Satan does, doesn't matter what they do, how hard they run, how far they go, the plan of God will not be stopped. Amen. There ain't nothing going wrong, Brother Branham said. He knowed all about it before the world was ever formed. He knew we'd have this meeting tonight. He knowed every gnat would ever be on the earth. and how much tallow he'd make and how many times he'd bat his eyes. He's the infinite God, knows all things. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight that your name is on the book?
Amen.
Amen. Can you imagine being down in Egypt? And it got to the point where the plagues and things, there were fleas and frogs and flies and things, waist deep, billions upon billions of fleas and gnats and things. And God looks down through time, and he knew how many times every one of those fleas and gnats would blink their eyes. How many times each one of those flies would bat its wings. And that wasn't just for that place and time. He knew all down through time. He knew the end from the beginning. He knew every bird that would fall from the air. He knew every animal. He knew every name. It shouldn't shock us that a prophet of God could stand there and say, I see that you're from a country that's got a lot of water. Oh, it's Minnesota. Or, oh, I see you're from a rocky country. Oh, it's Colorado. Oh, this is your address, and this is your name, and this is what your doctor looked like. I heard him on a tape the other day. He said, now your doctor, you've had multiple surgeries, at least 5 or 6 surgeries, and the man tells him how many it was, and he said, I see your doctor standing there, and he's a tall man. He said, now how would I know that? And how would I know what he told you? It was because it wasn't him that was speaking. God, that knew all things from the beginning, was just borrowing his vocal cords. Amen. The same God that knew how many times a fly would bat its wings, how many times a hummingbird, its heart would beat, and how many times it would bat its wings down through all time could know. He knows your address tonight.
Yes.
Amen. You might have taken your number out of the phone book, but he knows your number.
Amen.
You may not be listed, but you're listed somewhere.
Amen.
He knows you. He knows what you're at. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're facing tonight. Amen. If he knew all of these things, how much more does he know where you're at tonight? Questions and answers on Genesis 19:53. He formed man out of the dust of the earth and put this supernatural spirit. Now, he was laying there. He said, I can have many pictures of it. I can see Adam standing. Let's take it this way. We see him standing like a tree. God had made him. He was dead as he could be, his toes like roots sticking in the ground. And God said, let there be, or breathe the breath of life into him. God breathes this breath into him. There he is, just an old carcass out there. Just an old dead body like you take out of a morgue. God puts it all together and forms all the ventricles and the airwaves and the tubes to circulate his blood and all of the muscles and the bones and the structure and everything, the brain and all that we looked at this morning. He places it all together. I think, what was it? Was it the DNA or what was it you said? You text me. Hey, Brother Layton said if you took the DNA strand of a human being and lined up all those numbers, science has proved that it would go to the moon and back 60 times. Several times to the moon and back, just the code of our DNA. In a single-celled organism, I forget how many lines of DNA there are. Lines upon lines on this one little bitty micro single-cell organism that you have to get a microscope to see. And when you break down that DNA, it's lines upon lines upon lines upon lines of data. That's just a little speck that you can't even see. And then you take all of our cells and our bone structure and our muscles, and God begins to put it all together. But he's just standing there dead with his feet in the ground, his toes curled up in the mud like tree roots. And all of a sudden, God comes by and goes, and breathes breath into him. Amen. That's just in the natural. Amen. That gets us excited, Brother Layton, but that's just the natural. What about when he came by and he found you at an altar somewhere and you were sitting there dead in sins and trespasses, and all of a sudden he came by and he breathed on you the breath of life, breathed the Holy Ghost into your life. Oh my, it changed you even more so than it changed Adam. There he was, dead and lifeless, and God comes along and breathes the breath of life into him, and all of a sudden he begins to stand up. He begins to move. Brother Branham said it this way. He said, and he jumped, came to himself. See? Breathed the breath of life into him, became a living soul. Now he began to move on. Now he begins to move. This form that was dead just a few moments ago, he begins to look around. He's got fingers and toes, and he begins to move them, and he begins to walk. He becomes a breathing, living soul, and he begins to walk in the garden, and this supernatural being comes down in theophany form and begins to walk with him and talk with him. He says, Adam, I know this is the first time you've ever used those lungs, and I know this language that I'm speaking to you, your brain is just trying to put all the pieces together and learn it, this language that I've given you. He says, said, but I've got a task for you to do. There's about 10,000 or how many species? I don't know how many species of animals there are. You know, thousands upon thousands of species of animals that I need you to name out here in the garden when you get a moment. He begins to walk through the garden, breathes life into him. What about you? When all you could think about was finding the next beer bottle or the next magazine or the next cigarette or the next one-night stand or whatever it was, and all that your mind was consumed with that, consumed with evil, looking for the next bar fight or looking for the next trouble that you could get into, and then all of a sudden one day you had enough and you came down to an altar and you laid there dead in sins and trespasses, and God came along and you got up a different person. And the things that you used to do, where you used to lay there dead in the mud like Adam, all of a sudden you begin to move and life begin to come into you. And you begin to do things that you didn't used to do. And you begin to act different than you used to act. You begin to dress different than you used to dress. You begin to talk different than you used to talk. Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2, part 3. God made man out of the dust of the earth. He gave him a hand like a chimpanzee. He gave him a foot like a bear. He made him on the image, and this earthly body is in the image of animal life. And it's made out of the same kind of material. Your body is made up just the same kind of a material as a horse or a dog or anything like that. It's made out of calcium, potash, petroleum, cosmic light. And we think we're somebody. Oh, my. Made out of the same stuff that a horse or a dog or something is made out of, just the flesh body. So it's just animal life. But what made the difference? He places a soul down on the inside of us. Oh, now I know there's a lot of them that, you know, you look at them and you begin to talk to them, and all they can say is like an animal, you know, neigh, neigh. You know, they just shake their head and look at you like they think you're crazy or whatever it be. What is it? They still got an old horse nature or an old dog nature. You try to tell them something about God. You try to show them revelation. You try to get them to church, and they do like an old goat. Bah, that's bad. We don't like that. But a lamb won't talk like that. A lamb will say, hey, I recognize myself in there somewhere. What is it? Still an old horse nature, an old dog nature. What is it? Just that old original body there. It's got to be more than that. He says, you're just all flesh like that is not the same flesh. It's different flesh, but it's made out of the dust of the earth where it come from. But the difference between an animal and a man, God put a soul in a man, and he didn't put it in an animal. He says again, hear ye him, 1957. Did you ever think in the beginning what you was? Did you know your body laid here on earth in the beginning? When the earth was created without anything on it, just volcanic eruption, your body laid here. This one here, just the title would make a sermon out of it. Why is it that so many Christians find it so hard to live the Christian life? 1957. He said, if your body is made out of the dust of the earth, get it? Your body lay on this earth in the beginning. Again, in Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, part 1, 1957. Before there was a body on this earth, your bodies was laying here. Before God ever took Adam and took the calcium and the potash, and whether he formed it or whether he just spoke, whatever it was, and he speaks and that dust begins to come together, the molecules and the bone structure and everything. Before he ever spoke Adam in that way, Brother Bannon says, your bodies was laying here. Now, it wasn't that there was literally a Nathan Bryan out over on some hillside in Ireland or in Switzerland or in Germany or in United States or wherever it was, just laying there up against the rock, a flesh body. But those molecules that are in your body right now was there, the dust and the elements, when God created the heavens and the earth. Before he took one man out of the dust, all of the dust that he needed to create every man was laying right there. God didn't have to keep creating more dust and more dust and more dust, but it all came from that original seed and came down. And as those men would breathe dust and things into their lungs and the calcium and the potash, and it would go from one to another, he said all of those elements that is in your body was laying right here on the earth in the beginning. Again, in Hidden Life with Christ, 1955, what is these bodies made out of? A little cosmic light, a few atoms of petroleum and so forth put together that God brought out of the dust of the earth and painted a picture, and we're only living in the negative now. And some glorious day, death will develop the picture and will return again in a new glorified body to never be old, never be sick, never have a heartache. You're just looking at the negative of it now. Did you ever, you know, back before everything was digital, we had 35 millimeter or different kinds of films, and you'd take the picture and it would imprint that image on the negative. But when you would take the roll out and look at it, it was just a bunch of blurriness and blue and dark colors and things. And you would hold it up to the light and you'd say, oh, I think I see what it is. I think that's me. Back in 1987, standing beside a horse, and you could kind of get an idea of what the image is. But then if you could take that and put it in the chemicals that would begin to develop that, and it would begin to expose what was on the film, and you would take the paper and lay it in there and bring it out, and you'd say, oh, I see what it is. Now I see it in perfect color. Now I see every detail. Now I see it just as if I was standing there back in 1987 or whatever it was. What is it? The negative has become positive. The instead of looking through a glass darkly and just vaguely seeing shadows and things and types, now it becomes a perfect image of what it was from the beginning. You realize that's what's going to happen to your body? Amen. Now we just look and we see and we get glimpses and we look into the Word of God and we get a little revelation over here and we get a little victory over there. But one day when we take that final step and we have a body change and the theophany begins to pick up a glorified body and we stand there and we say, oh my, I've never felt like this before. No pain, no heartaches, no disappointment, no discouragement, no sickness, no sorrow. This is just a negative, and many times we glorify this and say, oh my, this is something great. This is just a glimpse. Man. This is just a glimpse. You know, I was thinking the other day, when Brother Branham begins to describe to us, as we looked at there, when we was looking at the Future Home sermon, and how that the New Jerusalem, Brother Branham said he thought it'd come up out of the actual, right about geographically where Jerusalem is now, and there would be no sea and all these things, and how it would stretch for 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles high, and all of this, the dimensions of it in a pyramid shape. And he begins to describe that to us. And I was thinking, you know, when he goes beyond the curtain of time there and he begins to tell us about it, in the rejected king, how that he had gone over there and he said, now, when he preaches the Hebrew series and he begins to talk about a theophany, his understanding of a theophany at this point, he said it'd be like if Brother Neville, he said he'd just be a cloud. And he said, I'd see him and I'd recognize, oh, that's Brother Neville. And he said, but I couldn't go and shake his hand. And he said, I always feared death because of that. That was just his interpretation of it by looking through a glass darkly. But now, all of a sudden, God, here he is laying on the bed with his hands behind his head. Amen. He said, I begin to hear that song, oh, let me look past the curtain of time. And he said, before I knew it, he said, I was up in the corner looking down at my body there in the bed. You notice he didn't fly 10 million miles away. He said he was just up a few feet higher there, just in a different dimension. And he could look back and he could see that body. That body didn't die. He was just changed for a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And that body laying back there on the bed, still with his hands behind his head. And he steps into another dimension where time is faster. And, you know, might have just seemed like seconds back there laying on the bed. But he goes into this other dimension. He sees people begin running to him and long hair and long robes, and the women begin to embrace him. He said, yet there was no sensation, and most beautiful woman he'd ever seen. And somebody said, you know who that is? He said, no, I don't. Said, you led that woman to Christ when she was 90 years old. And he said, the people began to come, and he said, they said, oh, we're just waiting here. We don't eat here, and we're waiting until you come and introduce us to Jesus Christ. And this is just kind of a waiting area. But they said, when we do, they said, he said, you know, you'll be judged by your message. And he said, well, will Paul be judged by his message? They said, yes. And he said, well, if Paul makes it, I'll make it, because I taught the same thing that Paul taught. I know there's a lot around the message that don't teach the same thing that Paul taught, but he said that's what he taught. Amen. So if they're teaching something contrary, Paul said, if even an angel from heaven come and speak anything contrary to what we've told you, let him be accursed. Now, that doesn't mean that we just go out and curse people and call them serpent seed. We don't know what their final state will be. Brother Branham's standing there, and he begins to try to explain it to us. Can you imagine what it would be like to experience something like this? And then you come back and you're laying in the bed and you're tired. Maybe your body's sore, and there he is laying there, and try to explain it to somebody that's never been there. And he tries with all of, you know, he only had a seventh grade education, but you can hear Brother Branham talk and you can realize he was a little bit more self-educated than a seventh grade education. He read lots of books and studied lots of histories on the scriptures and on Christian history, the martyrs and different things. And yet in all of his reading of Fox's Book of the Martyrs or Hyslop's Two Babylons or Pimmerman's Earth or Pimmerman's Earth's Earliest Ages or all these different writings, Chenecky's 50 Years in the Church of Rome, all the things, Josephus and all the writers and all the concordances and things that he had looked into, and he goes to try to describe this experience, and he says, there's no English word. He couldn't grasp an English word to describe what it was like. He said, sublime was the closest thing he could do. He said, sublime wouldn't touch it. Now you think about this. He's just describing the waiting room. He's not describing the New Jerusalem, Brother Hoover. He said, Paul got caught up into the third heavens. He said, I guess where I was at was maybe the first heavens. He said, and he says, there's no word to describe it. Sublime wouldn't touch it. And here he is just in a waiting room for those that have gone on, that have died by the way of the grave, that are waiting for us for the rapture and the resurrection. They're just waiting there. They're not in the New Jerusalem. And he can't come up with a word to describe it. Right. And that won't be a drop in the bucket to what the New Jerusalem will be. Right. Not even an English word to describe the waiting room to get there. Glory. Fourth seal, 1963. Now remember, before there was a grain of seed on the earth, before there was a sun that ever struck the earth, your body was laying on the earth because you are the dust of the earth. See, you are. God's the contractor. Again, you must be born again, 1958. Our bodies, before there was even the earth was finished being formed, our bodies that we're living in right now was laying on the earth, potash, calcium, petroleum, and so forth. Now we get to where Brother Hoover was trying to take us earlier. Now he begins to talk about this transition as we looked at this morning, how that God would create man in his own image, but now in the reversal, he would come and take upon the image of human life to redeem us back, because he couldn't redeem us in spirit. He had to come and physically give his life because he had to be a near kinsman. His own law, the own law that he had set up, said it had to be a near kinsman to redeem us back. So in Mary's Belief, 1960, he says, the same God who came down and created himself a body and talked to Abraham and done a sign of knowing that he had a wife and her name was Sarah, and know that she laughed and in the tent behind him, and that body was nothing but dirt, dust, and cosmic life, light and petroleum. It went right back to dust where it come from when he got finished with it. So will our bodies go right back to dust again. Here God calls, and Brother Bam said he got a couple of angels, and he said, look, I got to go down and talk to Abraham. He said he just spoke, and there was a body. What did he do? He just gathered this petroleum, potash, and calcium because he needed a tabernacle to go down and speak to Abraham. And now he steps into this body. The Spirit of God steps into this body, and he goes down and he eats hoe cakes and he eats lamb and he drinks milk and he sits down there and then he turns and he doesn't need that body anymore, and it just goes back to calcium and potash. Brother Bram said that's what will take place to you. You die and you lay out here in the grave long enough, it's just going to go back to calcium and potash and all of that. Revelations chapter 4, part 3. He is the beginning of the creation of God, and God is eternal. Is that right? But when God was created, wait a minute now. God is eternal. Is that right? But when God was created, .. The beginning of the creation of God. How was it? He says, when a little baby that was conceived in the womb of a mother, a virgin, and she began to develop these cells within her to bring forth this little baby, that was the beginning of God's creation. For God was flesh, made flesh and dwelt among us and become Emmanuel, God with us, the beginning of the creation of God. Here, God back before time. Now, chronologically, it didn't seem like it. Didn't seem like this would be the beginning of the creation of God. But yet the very first thing that went out of God was that Logos, the Son of God. And now he's going to create a tabernacle for that body to come dwell in. Brother Bram said, when God was created. Yet God couldn't be created. He was eternal. But what did he create? He created a tabernacle that we could see him in. He created it, the calcium and the potassium and the potash and all that. He places it in the womb of a virgin, and God creates himself a tabernacle to dwell in, the beginning of the creation of God. The original thought that God had, the original thing, the logos that went out of God, now it becomes tabernacled in human flesh. He said, then in that great jewel that come from the dust, because he was made of dust. Is that right? He eat food like I do. He eat food like you do, which dust of the body. He become calcium, potash, petroleum, cosmic light, but in him dwelt eternal light. No wonder the wise men said to the star, guide us to thy perfect light. He condescends, and he doesn't create some superhuman something, somebody to come and dwell in. He takes the same type of calcium and potash and petroleum and cosmic light that you're made of, and he places this cell in the womb of a virgin, and he steps into that body, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It pleased him to dwell in this tabernacle. In him dwelt eternal light. Oh my. The Laodicean church age, 1960. That would make a Presbyterian shout, he says. Just think of it, beginning of the creation of God. Now, how I like that. The creation of God. When God was created, when God was made flesh in Jesus Christ and dwelt among us. Why it had to be Shepherd, 1964. He had started a new creation. What was it? A creation of himself. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's the Bible said in the beginning of the creation of God. God was created in human form in Jesus Christ, his son. God dwelt. He built his tabernacle of flesh and bones and lived in that tabernacle. God Emmanuel, God with us. He built himself a house to live in so he could reflect his word to his subjects through that. You know what God is when you see Christ. Because the attributes of God were reflected in Christ. Now he builds himself a perfect tabernacle and he steps into it, a sinless tabernacle. Now he could be tempted just like we're tempted because he had the same calcium, potash and all that. He was tempted in all like manners like us, but yet without sinning, because he came a different way than we came. He came through a virgin birth, not through sex desire, not through sin, not through the fall. And so he comes and this calcium and potash and all of this, but yet when that body is crucified and ascends back into heaven, then he says, I'm going to divide my spirit and send it back in imperfect humanity. You think the virgin birth is a miracle? Brother Branham said the virgin birth was less of a mystery than the natural birth to him. How that God, through selection, could select one out of a million and bring you here. And then not a sinless body, not a perfect body like he was, but that he would choose to come and dwell in humanity in imperfect, flawed vessels. To me, that's even a greater miracle. Amen. It doesn't shock me that God could work through Jesus. He was perfect. He was sinless. He was a clean vessel for that Holy Spirit to come and dwell in. But now he takes broken humanity that came a different way through the fall, and he comes down, he begins to cleanse them through the washing of the water of the word. He begins to sanctify him. He begins to justify him, to get him into a condition where he can pour out that same Holy Spirit down into an imperfect tabernacle. God could come. Brother Bam said, I believe it's spoken word is the original seed, 1962. He said that God gave Adam a wife so that he could reproduce himself. That's what he did in this age too. That's what he did down through the church ages. God was reproducing himself. He needed bodies that he could dwell in. Bodies that he could work in. Bodies that he could speak in. Bodies that he could move in. What was it? He created a tabernacle to dwell in back there in Bethlehem. Back there in Nazareth. But yet, what does he do today? He has bodies that he can tabernacle in again. Wisdom versus faith, 1962. I know this stumbles our denominational theology, but he says he was a predestinated creature of time. You believe that? The congregation says amen. Jesus, the body, he knew that he was the predestinated word, the person of God that was to stand in that day to be the sacrifice for sin. A predestinated creature of time. Calcium, potash, and all these things. Now, Jesus, when he rose, he said, "Don't touch me, because I haven't ascended to your Father and to my Father." Then he ascends into heaven and he picks up the glorified body. He comes back and he's able to walk through walls in that theophany form, able to go and do things that a normal human body couldn't do, because he's now, this body is made up of different, yet it's still the same visage. They could recognize him. They knew that it was him. He revealed himself to them, yet maybe in a younger body, being a theophany or however it was. I wasn't there, so I can't tell you. I can just look into the word through shadows and types and things and tell you how it appears to be. But he comes and he makes himself known in that body. But yet, just as your bodies, there's got to be something that takes place to where this mortal puts on immortality and this corruption puts on incorruption. That original form that he was in there on the sands of Galilee, it could get sick. It could get tired. It could get weary. They could take it and nail it to a tree and crucify it. But now there's something that takes place. He comes and he picks up a glorified body that the first death or the second death can't touch. Amen. Why? Because he was the first fruits of what's going to happen to you and I. God keeps his word. 1957. I believe in a body, he was man. I believe in his soul, he was God. He was God's manifestation here on earth. God was in Christ, reconciling him, the world, to himself. I believe that he was not just a mere man, neither was he a prophet. He was Emmanuel. The unchangeable word of God, 1960. The God of heaven, who could create bread and fish and make water into wine, who made the heavens and earth and took the place of a humble, poorest among all, washed the feet of the disciples. The very dust that he created, he washed. He could look around, didn't matter what Peter thought of himself, didn't matter how wise Caiaphas thought he was, or didn't matter how much this one thought of their wealth or their popularity or their knowledge. He could come down, he stands, he looks, and he can look out over the crowd, multitudes, thousands upon thousands, and he said, "That's the dust that I took and created in the beginning. I formed man out of the dust, and I breathed the breath of life into him." And now he condescends not only to the birth of a manger, not only to the cross, but Brother Branham said he took, as Brother Hoover was saying earlier, the foot wash flunky, the lowest job that could be, and he humbles himself, and he kneels down, and Peter says, "Lord, not me. You'll never wash my feet," he said, "Peter. If I don't do this, you don't have any part with me." He said, "Lord, not just my feet. Here's my hands and my head. Just wash me all. I'm not all clean." He said, "That's right. You're clean, but not all." And he takes and he begins. And, you know, they didn't have Skechers and Nikes and Johnston and Murphy or whatever you're wearing tonight. They didn't have all these nice leather shoes and things. They had a flap with a strap around it, a little old sandal, walking on the dust and the dirt and the manure of the animals on the road. And he gets down, he takes a towel with these girded, and he takes that foot and he puts it in a basin. And no doubt that water, you know, somebody gets a new pair of socks on and we get a little freaked out here at church, but you can imagine what that water looked at. When the dust and the manure from the road begin to filter out into that pail, and he puts these hands, the hands of Emmanuel, sinless hands, virgin-born hands, he puts them in the water, and he begins to wash the dust that he created. But we can't humble ourselves to go tell our enemy that we love him and we're praying for him and we forgive him. We can't humble ourselves to go make something right, but he humbled himself to come and wash the dust that he created. The very dust that he created, he was made out of. Put his tent down here and lived among us in a body of flesh. Crossed his caste. Come down from God out of heaven and become man in order to strike the heart. That's a super sign, he says. The impersonation of Christianity, 1957. We ask, he's praying for a woman in the prayer line. He says, "We ask this evil to leave you in Jesus' name, and may you be healed. May your faith never waver. But may you succor from God the wooing of the Holy Spirit, your strength that brought you from the dust of the earth and put every organ in your body. He is more than able to repair that which he has made it for." Amen. If he could bring you here and place every organ, every vein, every string of your DNA, and he could bring you and look down through time and see and the dust that he placed here on the earth, call you out of that without you having any choice in it, and he could place those organs in your body. He said, "How much more now can he repair that which he created?" But Satan comes in and begins to whisper in your ears, "Oh, but you know what the doctor said. Oh, you know what this one said or that one said. You'll never make it. Greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. Greater is he than your sickness. Greater is he than your circumstance. Greater is he than the problems that you're facing in your family or your finances or whatever it would be. Greater is he than your trouble. Greater is he than your weakness. Greater is he than your temptation. Greater is he than any addiction, or greater is he than any problem that would rise. Amen. He spoke and he called us out of the dust. And now we get here in this dust and we think, well, I guess God just doesn't care. He cared enough to bring you here without you having any choice in it. He cared enough to breathe the breath of life into you when you didn't have any say in it. How much does he care now that you're actually on board and saying, Lord, I need this. I need your help. I need victory. I need salvation. I need healing. I need the Holy Ghost. I need whatever it is you need tonight. How much more if he would brood over you, if he would brood over the earth and call you from an earth where you had no choice in it, how much more that deep is responding back now saying, Lord, I need this. When he brought you here before, you knew what you needed. Paradox 1961, the dust of those prophets lays yonder in the earth. When the dust of the martyrs who were eaten up by lions and with the dung of the lions was spread across the dust and all over the earth. But yet Christ will raise that body again. Somebody said, oh, goodness gracious, Brother Nathan, I don't think I believe in cremation because I don't know. I don't want to hinder God from bringing me back. You ain't going to stop God. Amen. If the cremator can stop you, we're in trouble, because then the cremator is greater than he that's within us. But he that is within me is greater than anything the martyrs went through. They were fed to the lions. They were burned at the stakes. Some of them was fed to the fishes or whatever it would be. Greater is he that is within me. If he could bring me out of calcium and potash, just a pile of dust laying there in New Albany, Indiana, and he could bring it out and say, that's a son of God right there. How much more, no matter what Satan does to this body. He said, when the dung of lions spread across the dust all over the earth, but yet Christ will raise that body again. Again, the impersonation of Christianity in 1957. And if the Holy Spirit brewed your body from the ground without you having any idea of what you was going to be, or any knowledge of your coming, and could bring you up to where you are and give you a choice, how much more will it take the Holy Spirit to brood you out of the ground, no matter if your body is scattered to the four winds of the earth? Again, Jehovah Jireh, 1957. What does it make any difference what happens to this old body? Someday he will speak, and it'll come from the dust of the earth. The same God that could speak and say, let there be an Adam, and him stand there dead, and then breathe the breath of life into it. When there was nothing, there was no human beings, there had never been a human being. But yet all these chemicals laying in the earth, that same God that brought you through your mother and father, he can speak again. Brother Branham said it this way. He said in the resurrection, he won't have to say, Charles and Ella Branham, bring forth another William Branham. He said, he'll just speak, and I'll call and say, here I am. He'll speak and those elements will come back together. Amen. Jehovah Jireh, 1964. Just like he had appeared to him down here, Elohim, he needed a body. He needed a body to come down to earth. So he just gathered up the cosmic light and the petroleums and so forth and stepped into it. See, he's God. That's the way he'll do you. After you're no more than a spoonful of ashes in the dust, he'll still speak and you'll be there. He'll call your name and you'll answer. Amen. Amen. If the musicians would come tonight. Oh my, I don't know about you. I was identified with Adam when God called that first spoonful of ashes out of the dust and said, let there be. And man stood there in a flesh body and he takes the spirit man and places it in there and breathes the breath of life into it. What was it? It was just a representation of what he'll do when it comes time. No, doesn't matter where you're at. Doesn't matter if you're here and your body is old and haggard and tired. He'll just speak and you'll take a step from one body to another. Doesn't matter if you're a spoonful of ashes scattered all over it. Brother Bram said they scatter you to the four winds. He'll just speak and say, Nathan Bryant. And from those four winds, the calcium and potash and petroleum that form my body will just come back together. And I'll say, here I am, Lord, what did you need? just as Lazarus could stay there in the grave 4 days. And they said, Lord, don't open that. It stinks in there. Oh my, don't pull that tomb back. And he spoke and he said, Lazarus. And Lazarus spoke back. He said, loose him and let him go. Amen. A man dead 4 days. His spirit had wandered somewhere from his body, but God called back, and even the corruption that was in his body, he restored back the corruption to incorruption. Amen. Amen. How much more can he do? Not only for us in the natural, but in the spiritual. He can change us from the creatures that we were to what we are now through Christ Jesus. Not my own strength, but by Christ that strengthens me. He says that's the way he'll do you. After you're no more than a spoonful of ashes in the dust, he'll still speak and you'll be there. He'll call your name and you'll answer. Let's bow our heads together tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look into your word tonight and it encourages, Lord, us to see the foreknowledge and the plan of God, how that, Lord, you didn't do anything haphazardly, but Lord, you knew all about it from before the foundation of the world. Lord, you knew where we would be. You knew what our needs would be. You knew what our faults would be. You knew what our weaknesses would be. But yet you looked down through time and you chose us. You elected us. You predestinated and ordained us to what we would be. Lord, you chose us in your own choosing. Not, it wasn't our choosing. We had no choosing in it. We had no thought in it, Father. But yet you looked down through time and chose us by your mercy and your grace, Lord. And you expressed these attributes to us of Savior and Healer, of Friend, of Father, of Redeemer, of Savior, Lord. All these things, these expressions that you expressed yourself to us, Lord, so that we could try to comprehend your love for fallen humanity. Lord, the love that you expressed to us. Lord, may we never take it for granted, but Father, may you just come tonight. Lord, just as the Holy Spirit brewed over the earth in the beginning to bring forth plant life and animal life and human life, Lord, may you brood over our souls tonight. And Lord, point us back to the cross. Point us back to Calvary. Point us, Lord, may we have singleness of heart to you, Father, to recognize what you've done for us and where you brought us from. Lord, if you could bring us this far without us, Lord, even knowing, if you could bring us, and Lord, knowing what our name would be and what our address would be and what our lives would be, who our families would be and who our spouses would be, what we would face in life and the circumstances that would arise. If you could look down through time and call us and place us here without us having any choice in it, how much now that deep within us is responding to the deep that's calling from you to place us into the positions that you would have us to be, to call us up to higher heights and deeper depths of your word, Father. Lord, now that there's something responding in us that says, Lord, I recognize I need more of you. I recognize I can't do this on my own, but I recognize, Lord, I'm dependent on you, the one that spoke and called, and that spoken word in the beginning, those original seeds begin to produce others and others until, you, Lord, you brought me here through your foreknowledge. Lord, if we can see that, how much more can we recognize that whatever we're facing now, Lord, if you could bring us down through great wars and great tribulations and dark ages when families were dying out and men and women being murdered and persecuted and different ones dying of diseases and dying in martyrdom. But yet, Lord, you preserved a line, you preserved a lineage to bring us here, Father. If you could do all of that, Lord, how much more now that we're responsive to you and we can lift up our hands and say, Lord, I need you tonight. I need your help. I need your guidance. I need your wisdom, Lord. How much more, Lord? Move on humble hearts again tonight, Father. Mold us and make us into what you would have us to be, Father. Lord, wherever we are, when you call, Father, Lord, whether we're in an old body of flesh and you just change us, Lord, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, or Lord, whether we're laying in the dust and our body going back to the dust that we came from, Lord, we believe that you'll speak and we'll come forth. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Lord, make our hearts ready. Prepare us, Lord, for where you're planning to take us. Help us, Lord. Give us the strength to make ourselves ready, Father, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. Amen. Let's sing this together. Amen.
Number 152 in your hymn book, if you don't know it. I think we all do. Oh, when the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, if my heart is right when he calls me, if my heart is right, I will hear. If my heart is right when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere. Oh, he'll speak and I'll answer. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, if my robe is white when he calls me, if my robe is white, I will hear. Oh, if my robe is white when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere. Oh, let's stand and sing it together tonight. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, how we'll raise the heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed, glory, are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout, oh, how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, there will be a great procession over on the streets of gold when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing o'er that city will be rolled when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed, thank you, Lord. Oh, washed like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout, how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Saints will sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join our song when the redeemed are gathering. Oh, just praise him tonight. Oh, when the redeemed. Thank you.
to prepare the banquet for when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, and we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in. Are you looking forward to it? When the redeemed are gathering in. We'll wash like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shine, how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in.
Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling so much better talking about this good old thing. I'm feeling so much better talking about the Lord. So let's go on, let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on talking about the Lord. Well, the devil, he don't like it when we're talking about this good old way. The devil, he don't like it talking about the Lord. So let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on talking about the Lord. Oh, we're feeling so much better about this good old way. We're feeling so much better talking about the Lord. So let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on talking about the Lord. Amen. You love him tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing this tonight before we go. Oh, it's amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Oh, it's an old wretch like me.
I was blind, but now I see.
dismissed, let's sing it as we go. Praise God.